Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alan. Just before our text, Isaiah speaks about God's rebuke. In fact, Isaiah is the channel for God's rebuke of the nations because of their idols. These stupid idols have done nothing great in the past that they can recount in the present. And they can predict nothing prophetic about the future. They are nothing. The idols are nothing. Behold, they are dumb. And this text, he goes on and he says, behold my servant. Very different from the previous chapter. Reed Lessing, in his wonderful commentary on Isaiah, says that because Israel, who was to take this message of Yahweh and his righteousness to the world, because they failed so miserably, the Lord chose a servant to do it. And this text looks forward to Jesus, of course, and even to us in various ways. A new servant was needed. Thus says God the Lord. Thus says God the Lord. We have a God who is not an idol. He speaks. His word is ours. And that word is not something we concoct in our own minds or feel in our gut late at night or perhaps when we've eaten the wrong kind of food or who knows what. That word is written in the Bible, word for word, verbally inspired, inerrant, every bit of it, God's precious word. That word is found when that Bible is communicated through a catechism. God's word, spoken and written. That word is heard when you hear a sermon that proclaims this written word faithfully in an oral fashion. And that word of God is something which dwells among us as we remember it and speak it in the private consolation and conversation among brethren. We have a clear word of God. The Bible is very clear on the basics. Make no mistake about it. Anybody who says it isn't really doesn't know the Bible and certainly hasn't read it and certainly has never encountered the clear texts of our catechism. We must simply speak it. That's what we do. God's word, the gospel, is the power unto salvation. It's his doing. You look for the right place to do it, the right timing. You wonder when the relative will hear it the best way. Actually, all of that is secondary. God requires it be spoken in every opportunity. The Lord speaks. That's number one. That's what our Lutheran schools believe, isn't it, Alan? We have a clear word in a chaotic word, a very clear word. The Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out. We know that we have a word, and we know exactly who God is from that word. We know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. If you want to know why fundamentally we are in the mess we are in culturally, it is because of Darwinism. And the quest ever since the 19th century, but certainly before that, but this philosophical quest from the 19th century to find another cause for creation other than God. You see, if we are the chance result of an evolutionary process, then there is no ultimate morality. It is survival of the fittest. You can make up whatever family should or shouldn't be. You can make up sex or gender. So far as you think it accords with your own mind or some kind of reality. If there is no God at the beginning, then all of religion, all of human morality is simply a construct. There is no God. There is no Bible. There's nothing. All we are left with is the human struggle, survival of the fittest. How depressing. But we know God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know there was a real Adam and Eve created. We know there was a real fall into sin. And as difficult as it is to conceive of, we believe there was a real garden where the real parents actually died or were fallen into sin. Who spread out the earth and what comes from it? We know of the creatio continua. God not only creates things in the beginning, but he upholds and sustains all things. Everything. Everything is his doing. We are not anti-science. We're totally pro-science in our Lutheran schools, aren't we? Every time scientists unveil another level, another minute level of reality, what do they find? Ever-increasing complexity and order. It's mind-boggling. A scientist once said the chances of life coming to exist by itself would be about like the chances of a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and assembling a 747 fully fueled and ready to take off. We know these kind of things because of the advent of supercomputers and the science of chance and probability. It's impossible. And not only that, God creates and he sustains miraculously, unbelievably, in an unbelievably complex way. We are pro-science in our schools, and we know it is God who richly supplies all that I need for this body of life. How shall I live? For all this I shall thank, praise, serve, and obey him. God who gives breath to the people on it, I am God's own creation. I am created, male or female. That is something that can't be changed. The modern heresy is Gnosticism. Somehow you can separate being from material and say one thing is not the other or is what it isn't. This is Gnosticism. It is old. It's a very old heresy. Origen had already had many of these crazy ideas in his time 2,000 years ago. The family is God's creation. Mother and father are God's own creation. And they are a blessing. Fathers and mothers. Orders that grow out of family like government and school are God's own creation. That's why our schools in many places are prospering so marvelously. Because our culture is so wrapped up in its idolatry that it has lost the idea of orders, God's orders, God's gift of sex, God's gift of government, what government is supposed to do. The Catechism gives the highest honor to teachers. It says, schoolmasters stand in the place of the parent, in the place of God. God's own masks to teach young people the three R's, and nevertheless also to teach them who God is, who gives us these ordered things, and who gives us Christ himself. And the Spirit to those who walk in it. He gives breath, but also the Spirit. And this Spirit is the Holy Spirit. There's a telos. There's an end to all this. It is eternal life. It is a life lived forgiven. It's a life lived for God. It's a life lived for God facing my neighbor. It's a life lived in view of an end, my own end, and the end of all this sinful world. The Spirit is located in Holy Scripture, in the Catechism, in preaching, in Bible-filled conversation, consolation, in Lutheran schools. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, his righteousness. The servant, he is the one who brings righteousness to you, the forgiveness of sins. You are covered by his righteousness, put to death for our transgressions, and raised for our justification. The promise is for all the people, and it's for you, Al. And it's for you, Kristen. And it's for you, kids. By the way, there's a special program we now have. Once you get the executive level and you have a spouse working here, you're elevated in the amount you have available for marital counseling. Isaiah gives his promise to the church. And that means you. You have a promise. The Spirit has grabbed you in your baptism, made you his own. He's given you a clear word and set before you a clear task. I will take you by the hand and keep you. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That promise is to God's people. That promise is to our schools. That promise is to our teachers. That promise, Al, is to you. Exactly you. And I will give you as a covenant for my people, a light for the nations. You are blessed to be a blessing. The servant, Jesus, was blessed that he be a blessing, and he is blessing you. To open the eyes that are blind and bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. So many are confused today. So many need the clarity of the gospel, the clarity of the scriptures, the soul refreshing clarity of God's own precious word, the clarity of forgiveness for people like us who screw up and have crazy and stupid ideas about reality. So many, we need it. So many around us need it. God grant us the strength to speak it, to give it, to teach it. All fulfilled in Christ, all fulfilled in the church, all fulfilled through you, all fulfilled through our schools. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.